Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 Crown Talk listeners. Crown Talk with Burgundy Season 2 is a radio talk show that places emphasis on the art of pageantry. We will explore the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beauty of this impeccable sport. Every 2 weeks, we will interview pageant coaches, title holders, directors, sponsors, family members, community service leaders, and discuss how we can empower others to strive for excellence in achieving goals. Lastly, but not least, we will have tips, advice, and ways that ongoing assessment is always taking place in order to exemplify excellence for the individual self and as a collaborative team. So sit back, kick off your shoes, relax, and shake it off while enjoying the show.
Hey, 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 it's Crown Talk time with Burgundy. I'm your host, Burgundy Mallory. Tonight on the show, we have the impeccable John Wesley Gandy III. Well, we know him in the pageant industry as Wes Gandy. But before we get into chatting with our guest of the evening, I want to go ahead and ask you to excuse my speaking ability tonight. I am having wisdom teeth issues tonight, but trust me, it will not get in the way of pageant talk. Congratulations to all of the Our Little Miss state title holders who were crowned this past weekend. Charlie, also known as Charlie Donaldson, our sweetheart intern, has written a story, Beautiful Bella, for the 2016 Writer Contest. She is one of the 24 finalists. Please vote for her for the Kids Public Choice winner at www.writeonkids.org. You only have a few more days to vote before voting closes. So vote, 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 vote. In addition, I would like to give a spectacular thank you to our quintessential sponsors. They are the following: Rising Athlete USA, Maximize and Reach Your Potential. McFormistel University, receive your honorary degree today. To learn more about this prestigious university, visit www.MCFORMALSBALEUNIVE.wix.com/MCU-EDU. Studio In Vogue and Transformation by John Paul, thank you for your impeccable collaboration for our cover girls. Montauk Informative Post, the official consulting of Crown Talk with Burgundy. Blog Talk Radio, radio just for you. And Magi Quest, a live action, magical, and adventurous attraction that's fun for all ages. Thank you for all you do. And now, introducing the wonderful and the magnificent pageant coach from Alabama, Wes Gandy. To learn more about Wes, please visit our website, www.crowntalkwithbyrgu.wix.com/crowntalk. Hello, Wes. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so happy you're on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's get into some questions. We've got a lot of them and a lot of emails to answer. The first one is that we want to know, who are you and what brought you into the pageant industry?
Well, you've mentioned my name. I actually started judging whenever I was 17 and fell in love with every aspect of pageantry whenever I judged that first pageant, was involved with them in school, and I have been involved as a director, as a MC, pretty much any aspect. But whenever I first started helping girls, I loved to be able to watch the progression of what they started to realize about themselves, and to see a shy, very conservative and not very talkative girl turn into a very outgoing and conversational person. That's all in itself amazing to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. And you said a little bit earlier that you've been through all aspects as far as being a director, you're a pageant coach, judging. Which one has been your favorite part?
Well, they all have their pluses and great moments. However, I do believe that I enjoy the consulting a lot more, just because it is more hands-on. You do get to help someone and watch them actually compete rather than having to be on the other side where you have to have everything in order. Like, for me, I would much rather be able to just sit back at a pageant and not have to worry about anything.
Yes. So we have a question from Jackson, Mississippi, from our email. What are your thoughts about pageant parents bullying other pageant parents on social media after a pageant?
I've actually had clients whose moms or fathers even have experienced this, and I feel like a lot of times it's a way to get a reaction out of someone, and it's a little upsetting because I feel like in a case where a pageant parent is bullying someone else's daughter, whether she's doing it's because she won or not, I just feel like it completely takes away from what a pageant is all about. I see a lot of parents who do this because it's supposed to be a bonding experience for the mother and the daughter, or the mother and whoever is competing, and it actually turns out to be something that is negative when that happens. You can't respond to it. And in my opinion, I wouldn't feed into any negative social media post about anybody because that's just giving them the reaction in which they want.
Mm-hmm. I can recognize what you're saying and to add on what you're saying. We are all adults, and it's very heartbreaking when you post something on social media and you know that everyone can see it because that hurts the other person's feelings. So if you have a problem, you know, be an adult about it. Go to the director if it's really bad. But if it's not that bad, go to him and tell him what you had a problem with, and maybe you all can resolve that issue. And to add on to that, keep your thoughts to yourself, because if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And I'm pretty sure almost every parent tells their child that saying. So maybe you should, whatever you preach, you should go by what you're saying. Well, I believe we actually have a caller, Wes. Caller number one, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. And what is your question?
My question is, what advice do you have for younger girls who are new to the pageant world?
Thank you for that question. The major thing that you always have to remember is confidence is key. It doesn't matter what pageant system you're going into, a judge is going to recognize confidence. And if you don't have confidence on stage, and if you don't make sure that the judges know that you know what you're doing and you feel confident in every step that you're taking, then a judge is going to look at you and not score you as high. I also would say that you probably need to take time and research different systems, because it depends on what kind of pageant you may be interested in or what your talents may be as far as competing into what system you need to do. And you need to choose a system that is perfect for you, not one that, for instance, Miss America organization, where you have to have talent and you don't have a talent. Make sure that you actually are doing something that you would have a good shot at winning.
Thank you.
And who are we speaking to?
JC Parker.
Oh, well, thank you, JC, for calling.
Thank you, JC.
You're welcome.
Well, we have another email question coming from Miami, Florida. They've asked, how should a teen or miss prepare a week before a national or state pageant?
Preparing is key. I feel like you have to start at the very beginning, which is interview. And what I always like to do is Google interview questions, pageant interview questions. If you don't do well with having someone sit there and actually ask you questions, you can always take your cell phone in today's time and age and have somebody actually record themselves asking you questions, then play it back question by question and answer them. You want to be on top of all news-related issues. If it's going to be in the news, you definitely want to have some knowledge of it, even celebrity news. I've had clients before that have been asked questions about Justin Bieber or other celebrities. And if you don't watch a little bit of celebrity news, then you may not be on top of the current events. Two, I feel like walking in anything that you do, you want to make sure that when you are out there and practicing every night, which you should be doing a week before, get a four-length mirror and walk towards it. It doesn't matter if you're actually doing whatever walk they are going to have you doing. As long as you can see yourself doing it, you can see yourself making small mistakes or what you need to fix. That way, it won't be as hard to polish that walk. And then, two, just make sure that you have a wardrobe that fits, that you feel confident in.
Those are some really good points, Wes. And I'm going to actually add on to what he's saying, but also say that you should actually try to prepare ahead of time for a pageant before the week before, which
definitely
do that. But during that week before the pageant, it should just be a repeat of everything that you have learned that you've been practicing in weeks prior. So make sure you're practicing before that week before, because sometimes if you try to cram everything and have a crash session, it may not look too good. And like Wes said, look in the mirror and fix the way you're walking. Have someone consult you on your attire. And even if you don't have anybody to consult you, go on internet and look at past winners. I mean, they have it for you. They have set it there straight in stone. So go on there and do that. But those are some really good points, Wes, that you have said.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Pennsylvania, from Charlie Donaldson and her mother, Kelly Donaldson. What are your recommendations for kids who interview who might have a language processing disorder? So hearing the question is trickier for them. Learning strategies such as repeating the question takes up precious time in a one-minute interview. And you know there are many pageants that have it for the junior division. What are your thoughts?
I feel like the more that you actually get used to having to try to hear quickly on your feet, the better you're going to get at it. Anything in life, when you practice, it does become a little bit easier. I feel like most of the time, if I ever have a client who has something, a nervous twitch or a speech impediment or a hearing disorder, I feel like going ahead and pointing that out to a judge beforehand, the judge is actually going to be a lot more considerate and maybe even talk a little louder so that the child can hear them a little better. If they don't know about it, then there's nothing that they can do about it. Maybe even put it somewhere as a interesting fact. As silly as that may sound, it is a very different thing and an interesting fact about a child that you could put in their application in itself.
That's a good one. I didn't think of that one. To add on to what he was saying, in addition, have a plan of action for your child. So anyone that has a disability that you might feel may affect them during interview, that's either, you know, maybe have a hard of hearing, or maybe you might be blind in one eye, or maybe have a speech impediment, and so forth. Take the time to sit down with your child to interview, to practice interview skills. Maybe in the car or out shopping or right when they get in from school, reword the questions you've asked. So, for example, if I ask, how would you go to school every day? Could you please explain that? Try to reword it in a different way where they will know that there is a difference and this may happen to you. And they may have a Robin interview type situation and they have to go to different judges and they may ask them the same question just in a different type of way. So practice, as they always say, practice makes perfection. If you know that your child has a disability, practice with them. Practice with them, because when they get to interview, it'll be like second nature to them. It won't even faze them one bit. Well, Crown Talk fans, we are still live with Wes Gandy. If you have any questions, please call into the show at 917-889-8863. Or if you are a little shy, please send in your email with your city, state, and question. Well, Wes, we have another question from Las Vegas, Nevada. They asked, hello, Wes and Burgundy. I am a little nervous about doing my first two pageants, which is a prelim for the Miss Nevada America and Miss USA system. Should I start with those pageants, or should I start with a system that isn't so grand?
I don't feel like there is a certain system that you should ever start out with. If there's a pageant that you want to do and you've researched it, the USA system and America system are two very different systems. So I feel like as long as you've done your due diligence and actually looked at the systems and what they stand for and how they work, then there isn't one that you can't do. I feel like you have to be prepared. You need to make sure that any part of competition that you're going to have to compete in, that you have put in the time and the effort to make sure that you're polished and ready for it. But as far as doing smaller systems or different systems to get ready for a system, I feel like that's all in how prepared you make yourself.
Mm-hmm. Our next question comes from Isabella Miller from Cumming, Georgia. She's asked, what is your best advice you can give for a talent selection and performance?
First off, you have to love whatever you do in talent. I feel like if you don't love what you're doing, then it definitely comes off. And I by no means consider myself to be a talent expert. But also, I feel like you need to make sure that you get a professional opinion. If you have several things that you're looking at possibly trying to do for a talent, ask someone who knows and is educated in whatever it is that you're wanting to do, just to make sure that you're on the same page. I hate to say it, sometimes I think that I can sing great in the car. if I record myself and listen back, it's not so wonderful. So you just want to make sure that it's something that's going to be competitive, too, unless you're just doing it for fun. Be creative and think outside the box, too. You don't have to stick to just dance or singing. You can choose a number of things, dramatic monologues or painting to music even, and get an unbiased opinion, even if it's not a professional opinion. Ask someone who's not maybe a family member or a friend, someone that will be honest with you, and ask them what they think.
Mm-hmm. What Wes was saying, I wrote down in my notes, think about Miss America 2015, Kira. She did the cups, and everybody wasn't expecting that, but she stood out. So think outside of the box. Don't think of the ordinary things that will blend in. Think of things that are outside of the box, but make sure you look good doing it, because I don't want someone to send you out there and you look crazy. Record yourself if you have to, with your phone, with any type of mobile device. Just get different advices, even if it's not from your family. But if you feel comfortable, do it in front of your family, because as I always say, your family and your peers are your hardest critic. So I'd rather get it from them instead of going on a message board or going on Facebook and someone says, oh, my goodness, she looks a hot mess. So you don't want that to happen. So think about what you're doing before you go out there for talent. Our next question is from Knoxville, Tennessee. How would you prepare someone for an interview?
There's several ways that you can prepare for an interview. I feel like a lot of times there are already ideas by contestants going into an interview that the judges want you to be a certain way or are looking for a certain answer. And no answer is a silly answer. It's all in how you deliver it. I feel like if you make sure that the answer that you give is honestly 100% your true answer, and you can back that up with why that's your answer, there's no way that a judge can look at it and say, oh, that's silly. If you don't quite understand an answer, there's not any reason why you can't ask a judge to reword it. It's not going to make you sound silly. I feel like if you answer a question that a judge asks and you don't quite know what they're talking about and the answer does not make sense, that's when you're going to give the impression that you may not be as up to speed on a particular topic or make you look a little silly. And a lot of times, you have to remember, make it a conversation, because if you just do one-word answers, that interview is going to be very choppy and short. If you can look at the judges and make a connection with them, then you've done your job. But that's the judge's only opportunity to get to sit down and find out who you are and what you stand for.
And come up with a strategic strategy that shows the judges your personality, who you really are. Because I promise you, you go in there and try to practice different questions, they will know if you're telling the truth and if you're not. It's like the judges have superpowers. They'll be able to see the true you. They'll be able to see that.
Judges
what'd you say?
I said judges do have superpowers.
They do. They know. They know everything. In a pageant, if it gets down to the top two contestants, what would be the deal breaker for you, Wes? Like, what makes the difference between the winner with the crown and the first runner-up?
The difference is definitely if you exude confidence. First alternate and the winner can sometimes be a very close call, and if the pageant does actually have an interview, that's where you're going to win it or lose it. If you go into your interview in a pageant and you can make a connection with a judge and they can truly see who you are, then they're going to stick by you the rest of the way. I know people that I have judged with in the past, myself included, if I've ever looked at somebody in an interview and just said, oh, wow, I love them, even if they may have not deserved a little bit higher of a score on stage whenever they're walking, you're going to give them a higher score just simply because you have that connection with them and you really are fighting for them and you want to see them succeed. So my best advice is always make that connection in the interview. Make sure that you know that those judges are looking at you and paying attention to you on stage by giving them good eye contact.
Well, Wes, we are almost at the halfway point of 2016. What extravagant plans as far as pageantry do you have for the 2016 going into 2017?
This summer just have several pageants that I have contestants that are competing in that I plan on going to Teen America, which is in Atlanta, Georgia in July, and then High School Collegiate and Junior High America, which is in Texas in July as well. And then there's just several pageants around the state of Alabama in June that I plan on going to. So just working 7 days a week and resting when I can.
Well, you definitely have a busy schedule this summer.
Well, that's the only way to be, though.
Well, our last question is, what is your point of view on children in glitzy pageants and children participating in natural pageants?
I feel like I've judged glitz national pageants, and although I couldn't coach for it just because I feel like would be on the slower end of coming up with an actual routine. I'm not by any means a dancer. Even in my own head, I know that I don't dance well, so putting moves together for a choreographed routine would not be my thing. I feel like you need to let your child decide which system that they want to do. I have nothing against national glitz pageants or natural pageants, but if your child is someone who feels more comfortable and confident in less makeup and not as many rhinestones, then glitz is not going to be something that they're going to enjoy. The flippers and the spray tans and the contouring. You have to have a kid that really just loves sitting down for a long time to get all of that done. So my honest thoughts on that is, as long as it makes them happy and they enjoy it, and believe me, I've seen some girls in national glitz pageants that I can tell absolutely love it, then I see no reason why they shouldn't do it. If it's just something that's not for them and they're on stage crying and they absolutely look miserable, I would swap it or maybe even take a break.
Now, my point of view between, you know, children doing glitz pageants and children doing natural pageants, nowadays, I don't know exactly. There is a huge difference. But you have some different pageants that kind of cross the fence. They're kind of right there in between. So when you are choosing between glitz and a natural pageant, if you want to do both, there are pageant systems, and there's some big ones that allow your children to wear a little bit, maybe a medium amount of makeup and have the extensions, the hairs, and the spray tans. But make sure, as we said earlier, research and know your craft of what you want your child to do. And as Wes said, make sure your child actually gets to choose which ones they like, because at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to if they were happy and if they liked it. Because if they don't like it, then they don't need to be doing it. Well, thank you so much, Wes, for coming on the show and sharing your thoughts with me and our Crown Talk listeners.
No, thank you so much for having me.
And we will speak with you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, Crown Talk listeners, we have come to the end of our show. We hope our listeners and fans join Crown Talk with Burgundy Radio Talk Show Kiddos Edition every other Tuesday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember to visit our social media sites to see all the opportunities we offer and breaking news that is happening in the pageant marketplace. You can visit Facebook, Crown Talk with Burgundy Radio Talk Show and Magazine, my personal Facebook page, Burgundy, B-Y-R-G-U-N-D-Y, Mallory, Twitter, Crown Talk with B-Y, YouTube, Crown Talk with B-Y-R-G-U-N-D-Y, Instagram, Crown Talk with Burgundy, and our Snapchat, Crown Talk with B-Y. Thank you, listeners, readers, viewers, fans, and sponsors for always supporting the brand of Crown Talk with Burgundy. Signing off tonight with our favorite quote, you're never too young to be a role model.